Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Rejoice, heavenly powers. Sing, choirs of angels. Exalt all creation around God's throne. Jesus Christ, your King, is risen. Sound the trumpet of salvation.
Rejoice, heavenly powers. Sing, choirs of angels. Jesus Christ, our King, is risen.
Our New Testament reading is from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe it in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of these apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaimed, and so you have come to believe. Grace to you from Jesus Christ our Lord, brothers and sisters in Christ. On this holy morning in which Jesus Christ passed over from death to life, we gather as the church to watch and pray. This is the Passover of Christ, in which we share Christ's victory over death. Let us pray. O God, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption, and by his glorious resurrection, you delivered us from the power of death. May we die every day in sin, so that we may live for him forever in the joy of the resurrection. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We are all children of the resurrection, and on this day of all days, all are welcome in this place. If you have not yet passed your registration pads down your pew, please do so at this time. They're on the inside of each pew. And let us live our lives so that others may see the light of Christ in all that we say and all that we do.
Thank you.
Let us now pray together our prayer for illumination. Resurrecting God, open our hearts to your holy word so that we may truly understand, and understanding that we may believe, and believing that we may follow Jesus Christ in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do.
A reading from the Gospel according to John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in. And he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to him, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Great is the mystery of the gospel.
Thank you.
Mary Magdalene had lost everything, or so she thought. She had lost her teacher. She had lost her friend. She had lost her rabbi. She had lost the man who, when she had come to him feeling as if seven demons were roiling inside her, he had called her by name, Mary, and touched her. And the demons had disappeared. She had lost the community of his followers, the other men and the women who were close to Jesus, learning from him, living with him. And all she had left was the body. She knew that because she and other women had helped to prepare or begin to prepare the body before the Sabbath came, before they had to stop. And so now here she was in the last darkness and first light of the morning of the first day of the week, early at the tomb to finish the job. And when she arrived, the stone that was supposed to close the tomb to keep anyone out until they arrived to do the rest of their work had been rolled away. And she jumped to the conclusion that now she truly had lost everything. She had even lost his body. And she would be blamed for it. Oh, not just her, but his followers would be blamed for having stolen it, having taken it away. She was startled and she was afraid. And she ran back to see if she could find some of the men. She found Peter and one other disciple who had also seen the love of God in Jesus as she had, in a way they had never seen it in any other person. They ran back to the tomb. Peter and the other unnamed disciple looks in. Peter rushes in. They see the linens, some of them at the foot, some at the head, some rolled up. If someone had stolen the body, wouldn't they have taken the linens as well? And then the two men leave. And they leave Mary alone at the tomb, brokenhearted, convinced that she had lost literally everything, even his body. When she looked in the tomb, she saw something that the two men disciples had not seen. She saw two messengers of God sitting on the shelf where the body would have been placed. One where the feet should have been, one where the head should have been. And they ask her what seems to be a silly question. Why are you weeping? She tells them, they have taken the body of my Lord and I don't know where they have laid it. And then she turns around and she sees someone else. Through her tears and anguish, she doesn't recognize who that is, but she assumes it's the gardener, the caretaker, the one who is supposed to be there to see that these kinds of things don't happen. And he asks her the same silly question. Why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for? She said, look, if you have taken the body of my Lord, then just tell me where it is and I will go and take it. And then the stranger does something that startles her. He calls her by name. He says, Mary. And suddenly she recognizes who it is. It's not the gardener at all. It's the voice of the one through whom she has seen the love of God like no other person she's ever met. The voice of the one who had called her name and touched her and driven out her tormentors. And she says to him, Rabboni, not just rabbi, but dear, sweet, loving, kind rabbi. The rabbi who is closer to me than I am to myself. And he says, you can't hold on to me, you know. But you go and you tell my brothers that I'm going to be with God. with your God and their God and my God. And so with that, Mary Magdalene is ordained the first preacher of the resurrection. A woman who had been cured of 7 demons, to go and take the good news to her male counterparts, to tell them what she had experienced there in the garden that was too good to be true. Or, as Frederick Buechner has put it so well, it's just too good not to be true. And so she becomes the first preacher of the resurrection. And then the story goes from her to the other disciples who encounter Jesus, and then they go across the world telling others about this story. The men had not been there when he had been crucified, but Mary had. And so it goes to Paul, as he says, the least of the apostles, the last of the apostles, unworthy to be an apostle because he had persecuted the church. And Paul passes along a story that he has not experienced. He was not there, you understand. Oh, he encountered the voice of Jesus on the road to Damascus after being blinded, but he was not there. He's passing along what he has received as a gift. Isn't it remarkable the gifts that are given during this story? Thursday night, we remembered that it was a woman who came in and washed Jesus' feet with her tears and anointed them, that then Jesus took an act and washed his disciples' feet. Where do you think he got that idea? And told them to pass that along and to do the same to others as he had done to them. These stories are the gifts that we have received to pass along because we weren't there. You know, sometimes when I hear that hymn, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" I have to say, no, I wasn't. I wish I had been. I've lived it over 100 times in my imagination, wondering what it would be like, thinking about what it would be like. But no, I wasn't. I wasn't there when they crucified my Lord. I have a story that I have received, that I believe, that I stand in, like Paul, that I pass along to you so that you can pass it along to others. What we have this morning is a great gift that we have been given. And we tell this story every year on this Sunday. A story of how death cannot defeat life. How the greatest empire in the world did its worst, and out of that, God brought God's best. This robe is a gift. It was not made for me. It was made for a man named R. Harold Hips. Some of you knew R. The remarkable thing about this robe being R's robe and then my robe is that R was about that tall. Honestly, he was a little leprechaun of a man. He died about a year and a half ago. And as I sat in his bedroom where he was holding court and sending his family members to go collect things because he was directing his own memorial service, doesn't surprise anybody who knew him, he sent his son Dan to get this. This is a robe that only R had worn. It was made for him. And when Dan brought it in, I said, "Well, R, that's beautiful, but you know what? If that robe fit you, there is no way it's going to fit me." He said, "Well, you know what? You're going to wear it at my service." It's an Easter miracle, isn't it? I wore it at his service, and I've worn it for our jazz mass on Shrove Tuesday because it says without speaking a word what we proclaim today, doesn't it? As I walked in this morning, Kirby Davis looked at me and he said, "Boy, you sure make a statement." I said, "I hope it's Christ is risen." He said, "It is indeed." You see, this is not my vestment. It was made for someone else, and that person passed it along to me, and one day I'll pass it along to someone else. But the message will continue. The story of this vestment will continue. I pass along to you this morning what I have received as a gift. And when you feel like everything is lost, the way Mary Magdalene did, it is not lost. Because believe me, in God's economy, nothing of importance is ever lost. When you're feeling the power of hurt and hatred in the world, just know that hatred and hurt does not have the victory. God's love has overcome hatred and hurt, meanness of all kinds. God's love has even overcome death. So when you're feeling that sense of loss, whether it's a child going away to school and into a larger life without you present all the time, or whether it's a relationship perhaps that you thought would work and somehow it didn't, a family member or friend who has passed from this life to the next, or perhaps someone you know whose memories are slowly being eroded by time and disease, none of that is lost, my friends. Nothing of value is lost in God's economy, because you see, as we continue to pass this story along, Christ is not only risen indeed, Christ is risen in us. And we carry that into the world. The loving light of Christ is how we describe it here at West End. And so the good news this day is that there is nothing this world can offer, nothing this world can do to you. There is no fear or hurt or loss that you can experience that God's love has not already conquered. Because you see, my friends, Christ is risen indeed. Christ is risen in us. And we pass that story along in a lot of ways. One of those is through various affirmations. And this affirmation today comes from two different passages of Scripture. Would you stand as you're able and join me as we tell our story, the one we have received as a gift? This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter, the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses.
It is with great joy that we welcome each of you here for worship this morning, because gathering together before God connects us both to God and to each other. We gather as a community created in the love of God that He has shown the world through Christ. To strengthen this community, we invite you to get to know one another and to welcome one another this morning and every Sunday. If you've not yet passed the attendance pad, please do so, and as it makes its way down your pew, notice the names of those sitting near you and say hello after worship today. In the pew racks, you will find a gray prayer card that can be used for prayer requests or questions or comments about the ministries of the church. Complete these at your convenience and place them in the offering plates they'll be coming by shortly. Lastly, if you would like to learn more about West End United Methodist Church, a new six-week series of our newcomers class, West End 101, will begin next Sunday. It meets in John Feldhecker's office at 10 a.m. Prepare us now to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, be with us this day as we celebrate the resurrection of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Let the light of your love flood into each our lives and through us to all those who have been captured by darkness, that the light may give them healing, freedom, and hope. As we remember those who saw our risen Lord and witnessed to the good news of his resurrection, let us remember that this good news exists for us today. Darkness does not win. Death is not victorious. Christ is risen for us, for you, and for me. We are raised with Christ to a new life of hope and service. Let the joy of this good news swirl around in our hearts. Let excitement for service and ministry burst forth from us. Let us truly be the Easter people that you have called us to be. For we ask these things in the name of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. With compassion for our needs, the risen one stands beside us, calling our names. Let us, with that same mercy, bring forth tithes and offerings to relieve the suffering of this world and to proclaim far and wide the good news of resurrection life.
Now go forth in peace. Christ is risen indeed. Christ is risen in us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.